Welcome to another sparkling edition of The Thought Police with me, Mike Graham, and you,
Kevin O'Sullivan.
I mean, I'd have to say, Kevin, of all the fucking podcasts that we've done, of all the fucking weeks of politics that we've watched and experienced, this has to be one of the fucking worst.
Oh, Christ almighty. Doesn't it? I mean, we are speaking the day after Jeremy Hunt's fantastic...
I see you've managed to call him Jeremy Cunt again this
week.
Yeah,
I've cunted him again. I shouldn't really say this, but the bosses here quite like it when we cunt Jeremy Cunt.
Yeah, right.
Because nobody cares and everybody laughs.
Yeah.
It's quite good for viewership.
Anyway,
he is a cunt. His budget was shit. And he pretended it was great, and actually most people will be worse off because of it. And it turns out, guess what? After Jeremy Hunt's budget, we are heading for the highest tax burden since 1948.
Yeah, and I wasn't even alive in 1948.
Although, that's even before time.
The thing is, the difference between now and 1948 is, right, in 1948 nobody was going, fuck, you know, this is the biggest tax burden we've ever had, because they just got out of the fucking war. So they actually didn't mind paying taxes.
They sort of understood it.
Because actually, you don't mind paying taxes to rebuild the country after it's been bombed to fucking smithereens by the fucking Germans. But what we're fucking doing is giving these cunts more money to waste on shit that we don't need wasting.
Yeah. And by the way...
We're not rebuilding anything.
So Jeremy Hunt, the Chancellor, always does a round of interviews the day after to try and justify their shit show of a budget. So... Hunt's on the media circuit the day after, which was Thursday. You probably listening to this over the weekend.
Yeah.
Anyway, he goes on to Radio 4, onto the Today programme, and Amal Rajan called him a fiscal drag queen.
Yes, I heard that.
And he lost his fucking rag. And he's like, that doesn't... That demeans the BBC. Actually, far be it for me to defend Amal Rajan and the BBC, but what Amal Rajan and the BBC were saying was absolutely right. You've given us a shit show of a budget that won't make anyone better off. You've pretended you've given us a tax cut, but actually it's just national insurance. You say you want to get rid of national insurance, but you're not. You didn't spend any money on defence, even though World War III is coming down the track at a rate of knots, and you left pensioners out. Fucking useless.
Yeah, well, they are useless, but that's my point, I suppose, is that we shouldn't expect anything more from them. The fact is that we're stuck with a useless fucking system filled with useless cunts, none of whom are going to fucking do any better, no matter which... fucking set of useless cunts is in charge.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what the answer is, to be honest, because we need to do something to change the way that everybody fucking operates, because the fucking local council system is crawling, creeping down around its arse. You know, they go fucking bankrupt. People's tax is going up massively, 21% in Birmingham.
Yeah.
You know, they're switching off the fucking streetlights. They're spending millions and millions of pounds on fucking diversity and fucking inclusion, and all of that shit is killing the country.
Meanwhile,
we've got fucking hordes of, you know, marauding fucking migrants coming over the fucking barriers every 5 minutes, fucking everything up. Brilliant.
Yeah,
fucking,
I mean,
Great Britain.
There is
fuck
this...
you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway,
what he said, exactly right, exactly fucking right. But there is this sense that, you know, Rishi, and before him Boris, and before him Liz Truss, was it Rishi, Liz Truss, Boris, Theresa May, David Cameron, this succession of absolutely shit
useless
Tory prime ministers have let this country go to rack and ruin. They've let these woke warrior cunts take over the country.
Yeah.
Culturally, they've lost the fucking plot. And economically and politically, they're fucking hopeless.
Yeah, they really are. And I mean, the bottom line is that, you know, whoever comes next, especially if it's old fucking Keir Starmer, fucking Captain Drama,
which it will,
it'll
be
fucking even worse.
Yeah,
it'll be worse,
exactly,
because he's
right
in fucking hock to the wokists even more than anybody else is.
Yeah. And you fucking Hunt and go back to the budget and Rishi Sunak. Rishi Sunak, when he was Chancellor of the Exchequer, presided over 14 tax rises. That's not conservative. No tax cuts in this budget. That's not conservative.
Right.
Not spending money on defence. That's not conservative. Not spending money on pensioners.
Police.
That's not conservative. Law and order, going to the dogs. That's not conservative. These fucking cunts, fucking Sunak. You know, he goes, oh, I know how to get popular with the people. Let's bring back that fucking tosspot that Lord Wanker Cameron. I know. Jeremy Hunt, conservative voters really like him. They fucking hate these people.
Also,
why don't you know this, Sunak?
Also, fucking hell, that fucking video that you made to commemorate his first 100 days. He seems to think the job of the Secretary of State for the Foreign Office is to go to lots of countries. Oh, yes, I've been to 100 countries. Oh, congratulations. Did you pick up... It's like that game Go we used to play as kids. You know, pick up a souvenir in every fucking city that you go to. And then when you get the most souvenirs, you've won. What's the fucking point?
Yeah.
You know, I've spoken to the Israelis and told them to stop bombing Gaza. How did that go? Didn't work. I've spoken to some of the people near the Russians and say, stop bombing Ukraine.
How'd that go?
Still didn't fucking work. Bombing, you fucking useless wanker.
Yeah, yeah. Vaguely, some of the people still on the international diplomatic scene, on this the geopolitical circuit, will remember David Cameron when he was Prime Minister, and they'll go, oh, that cunt's back. Fucking useless. Yeah. And when he's heading for the Middle East, like, watch out, here he comes.
But you know,
fucking Libya.
Do you remember how they sold it, though? They sold it to us as the man who's very well respected in international
quarters. He's not. Everybody thinks he's a cunt.
Because he is.
He's a cunt. He's fucking useless.
Ridiculous.
He's fucking useless.
It is hopeless.
And
anyway,
he's not a Tory either.
No, he really isn't. Maybe we should move on, though, because there's other things to discuss. I'm just reading a headline today, fresh off the presses. Meghan Markle prepares for relaunch in the UK. The Duchess has reached out to British PR gurus for help as she battles a popularity problem. I've got news for her. Nobody's going to want to fucking work for her.
Yeah.
Unless she gives them bucket loads of money.
Do we know who the PR...
Well, no, she's looking for one.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, I'll see if I can find out who's so far turned her fucking down. But you can't imagine anybody taking it on unless they really, really fucking don't care about their reputation.
Well, no. I mean, if she wants to relaunch her image and be popular in Britain again, good luck with that.
Do you know what, actually?
There's not enough money in the world to make you popular again,
Meg. You know what would make her, more, the most popular she's ever been in Britain? To divorce Harry. And fucking leave him hanging, right? And then come back and go, look, I'm really sorry. It was Harry that led me astray. It was Harry all along. He was the one that was a complete fucktard. And in fact, a complete and utter fucking, you know, narcissistic little mummy's boy who couldn't fucking do up his own trousers. And I had to fucking rescue him from the royal family. But he's such a cunt, I've left him. That would make her popular, wouldn't it?
Yeah. why are you... what's the problem with your marriage, Meghan? Well, it turns out that Harry's such a cunt, I've left him.
Yeah.
So that would be good.
Actually,
Harry stays
good.
In California.
He stays in California.
She comes and lives here.
She comes and lives
with the kids.
With the kids, yeah.
Princess Meghan. Yeah, that would be
And he gets fucking banished to California and his self-help fucking gurus and all that other shite that he does. And he can, you know, contemplate his navel, smoke loads of fucking joints and stay in California. Thanks very much indeed.
Take a few shrooms, all that sort
exactly.
of stuff.
Yeah.
Here's one thing I'd like to say about it. You know, the royal family, right? I'm, you know, the people like the royal family. Myself, I'm not. I've never been particularly.
I'm a bit like you. I've always been a bit ambivalent.
I still see them, you know, deep down. You know, I'm a lower middle class boy, and I see them as a symbol of inequality. You know, Harry only gets the status and the stage that he gets because of the scrotum sack he was conceived in, which was royal.
Yeah.
That's fucking wrong. So I don't particularly like that.
I think that may be the first time we've used the word scrotum
sack.
Thank you very much for that.
Why not?
Yeah.
That would be Charles's scrotum sack, wouldn't it?
Well, some people would argue with that. I would not be one of them, actually, because I have been told officially by people in the know that it's definitely not anybody but Charles's kid.
Well, I'm old enough to remember that every time James Hewitt, who a lot of people speculated him being ginger, was the father, because he did have an affair.
They did have a sort of resemblance as well.
I can remember, the timing's
all wrong, isn't it?
I remember when... Hewitt was doing the minor celebrity circuit in London, and he'd have like a glass of wine or something.
Yeah.
And every time he put down a glass or a can of Coke, all these journalists would descend on them to try and get his DNA to find out if he really was the dad. But I think you're right, that did get shot down.
Yeah.
Although he does look a lot like
there are times, but not so much now. Harry now doesn't really look... Yeah. I think he looks more like his mother, actually, than he does like his father.
So anyway, I don't mind criticising the Royals because I think they do a lot. They could be such a better organisation if, essentially, they didn't hire posh cunts to look after them who don't know about the real world.
Yeah.
And so when Charles got cancer, you know, it's so great the way he's announced it and told us, you know, it's this new... transparency, that's the way forward.
Yeah.
Well, okay, it was quite good that he announced it, but we still don't know what sort of fucking cancer he's got, and we still don't know what the fuck is going on with the Princess of Wales, Kate Middleton. So, you know, the communication system at Buckingham Palace and Clarence House is still shite.
It is.
It's shite.
And I'm not one of those who likes the apologists, you know, the ones who say, oh, but, you know, we shouldn't really be looking at pictures. I mean, that, I'm with you because I heard you say this. You know, the picture that was taken of her in the car, which I think is her, it looks like her. You know, I don't buy this bullshit that, oh, we shouldn't be running that picture because it's a bit intrusive. She's in a fucking car in a public place. Mm-hmm. That's not intrusion, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. You know, if she's on a beach in a bikini, in a private fucking island, or if she's somewhere where she's not supposed to be and it's a private situation, then you don't publish the pictures. But I'm not going for this kind of, oh, we'll only publish the pictures they want us to publish.
Yeah.
That's not fucking journalism.
Yeah, I mean, censorship is it? No, exactly right. Censorship is the enemy of journalism. It's the enemy of honesty, etc., etc. The enemy of transparency. So what are we doing here on this side of the Atlantic with the perfectly innocuous picture of her in the car with her mum? We're self-censoring.
Yeah.
So an American agency, TMZ, is selling this around the world. Yeah. The only place you won't see it is in Britain. Mm. But the point is...
But by bizarre coincidence, a lot of people in Britain have seen it.
Yeah, now we
because
have,
they've
yeah,
seen
yeah.
it on fucking yeah, on, some yeah, online yeah. website.
But, you know... I mean, I get it, that just because they're members of the royal family, you know, they'll want areas of their life to be private. But I'm afraid if you say, oh, the Princess of Wales has had abdominal surgery, you won't see her until Easter. Mm. And by the way, it looks like it might be longer than that now. You know, in the end, people go, what is it? What the fuck is it? And, you know, they're going to go to the king's got cancer. Well, what sort of fucking cancer? Mm. Let's not fucking fall over ourselves going, oh, these royals are really getting honest and transparent. Yeah. They're not. What they fucking do is they take our money and they feed us dribs and drabs about themselves in order to keep the royal brand going. I'm not against the royal family, but their communication system is and always was a pile of fucking crap.
Yes, but of course now the other thing that's interesting is that there's this now cottage industry growing up around the social media fucking teams of people, because there's sort of team Harry and Meghan, there's team Prince and Princess of Wales, there's team Charles and Camilla, and all these people are constantly sniping at each other. Have you seen some of the fucking mad shit that's been written, including involving that fucking poor sod who shot himself in the head with a shotgun, you know?
What was his name? Kingston? Thomas Kingston?
That's right.
Married to Lady Gabriella Windsor.
He was the son-in-law, I guess, of Princess Michael of Kent,
yeah.
who I once chased around fucking America when she was shagging Ward Hunt many years ago.
What a great job
that was. I spent a month in Dallas for the News of the World, right? And I only had to do one thing. This was how profligate the paper was.
You had to ring him every day.
Ring him every day to see if he'd talk to me. And every day his fucking secretary said no. And then eventually they sent some executives over to try and convince him. Who also didn't get to talk to him either. But I spent an entire fucking month just basically whining and dining in myself in fucking Dallas. It was fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. But, you know, I probably shouldn't go into them because it gives them some kind of credence, but some of the fucking ridiculous things that have been said, you know, tying all sorts of loose ends together and coming up with this ridiculous kind of tapestry of madness.
Yep.
You know, if only it was that interesting, you know?
Those royal fanatics, Team Harry, Team Meghan, Team Kate, I mean, they are fanatics. And if you dare to criticise Harry and Meghan, you get a pile of social media shit all over your head.
Oh, yeah.
But who cares? How about this?
Even as we speak, there's yet another story about the royals. Financier who gave Prince Andrew and Duchess of York £1.4 million has gone to jail.
Yeah, fucking hell.
This is a guy called Selman Turk, never even heard of him, sentenced to 12 months in prison after being found in contempt of court for concealing payments, including money given to the Duchess of York. What the fuck?
Well, that's the way those two lived.
Yeah.
Just scrounging off rich people.
Well, that was how he became friends with fucking Epstein, because apparently Epstein somehow managed or engineered a loan for her.
15 grand.
Yeah,
it was,
15 grand
to dig her out of a hole.
To dig her out of a hole. I don't think it was his money, but he got some. Maybe it was this guy. It was somebody else.
Anyway,
wasn't
he dug her out of a hole with 15 grand.
Oh, here we go. In fact, Turk was in contempt of court for failing to disclose a £212,000 payment to the Duchess and presenting a false invoice by way of explanation.
Yeah. Don't forget, that's amazing, do you remember when they lived in South York?
Yes.
That shit mansion that the Queen bought from them, they had built.
Yeah, it was horrible.
And when when they wanted to get rid of it, it was a shithole, nobody wanted
it.
They sold it to a Kazakhstan billionaire.
Yeah, I remember that.
Who bought it way over the odds, never moved in, and it got demolished. So basically, Andy and Fergie, their finances are very murky, and they've always been available to take money off dodgy, rich foreign people.
Yes.
And that's why...
And I bet that's the tip of the iceberg.
That's
well.
Why Andy's in the trouble he's in now.
Because he's in hock to the wrong people.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can never get a free... There's no such thing as they say as a free lunch. There's no such thing as a free fucking payment of hundreds of thousands of pounds either.
He went round the world using his royal status to scrounge money off rich guys who wanted to be associated with Prince Andrew.
Yeah.
That's what he did, and he's paying the price of it now because he's a fucking moron, and he never, ever looked into these people. He never, ever thought about the propriety of what he was doing. And guess what? The Jeffrey Epstein one came back to bite him in the arse.
Mm.
And now we've got another one. This guy.
Yeah, he's a former Goldman Sachs banker, apparently. He managed to somehow convince some organisation to pay £750,000 to Andrew to help get her a British passport. This is fucking stinking to high heaven,
honestly,
all this shit.
Honestly.
Turk claimed the gift was the money was a gift to the Duke of York on his daughter's wedding.
Fuck.
Sounds like the mafia. You know, on my daughter's wedding.
How much was it?
750 grand.
Here's your wedding present. It's the £750,000 pounds. Oh yeah, fuck off.
This is ridiculous.
Fucking Prince Andrew. What a fucking oaf.
Absolute fucking grade A cunt.
A moron and a cunt.
Yeah, absolute fucking prick.
Fuck's sake.
Anyway, we'll take a little break from this because we're going to hear from our new sponsors today. We've got some new sponsors who are called Babbel. It's all about learning a foreign language. Hey, Kevin. Do you remember how you were telling me the other week about how you managed to learn Russian when you were at school? Well, we've got a great opportunity for everybody who listens to the Thought Police, and we've got a great offer for them from a company called Babbel, and it's all about learning a new foreign language. I mean, I'll tell you what, you and I talk about how this country is going to the dogs every single week. More and more people are actually leaving the country to go and live in places like Europe, France, Italy, Belgium, Spain, going to South America, Colombia, going to America, going to, Southeast Asia, maybe Thailand. And this is your opportunity, if you want to actually learn to speak the language of wherever it is you're going. Or you might just want to learn to speak the language of wherever you're going on holiday. You know, because it's all very well going, dos cervezas, por favor, when you go to Spain for a game of golf. But actually, it's a lot better if you can speak more of the language. Now, your worldview might have expanded. You might just want to learn the language of another country just for the hell of it. You might want to go ahead and do it with one of your kids. You might want to just go, you know what? This year in the summer, we're just going to learn how to speak French. The problem is you haven't got time for language learning because it's a bit pricey and it's a bit time consuming. But here's what Babbel does for yourself. They will teach you how to speak another language, and it won't actually take up all of your time and all of your day. Language learning is made for the real world with Babbel. All you've got to do is start up and engage in real life dialogues, because what they'll do is they'll have lessons that are complemented by cultural insights. They'll make it interesting when they teach you a new language, and you can choose from 14 different ones, which include Spanish, French, Italian, and German. And basically, it's really, really easy. It's like a personal language coach. You do it whenever you want to, but you can do it as little as 10 minutes a day or as much as 1 hour a day. You'll receive personalized learning content based on your individual skill level and the goals that you want to reach. The teaching method as well that Babbel uses has been proven to be effective across all sorts of multiple studies, right? You can get it as an app or you can get it online. And what it basically enables you to do is learn a new language within the Babbel ecosystem. You can choose between podcasts, you can choose between games, lessons, and so much more. And it's really, really easy. I've got to tell you, Kev, I'm really excited about this. It's one of the few things that we have actually sold on to people who listen to this podcast that is very, very useful indeed, okay? So here's what you do. You basically can get Babbel with an amazing offer, for 6 months free. All you got to do is purchase a 6 month subscription and use the promo code, our exclusive promo code here at the Thought Police. It is police. So here's what you do. You go to babbel.com/play. Use the promo code police for an extra 6 months free. And it's Babbel. That's babbel.com/play. And use the promo code police. And it's your guaranteed path towards speaking a new language. And what you do is you buy a 6 month subscription and you get another 6 months for free. How could that not be brilliant? Comment allez-vous? Avez-vous une tasse de thé? I'm Mike Graham. He's Kevin O'Sullivan. We're the Thought Police. Learn a new language. You can't go wrong. So what else has been going on? I see Fulham actually had a good result the other day.
We beat Man United away, and I was at Craven Cottage last Saturday for our triumphant 3-0 win over Brighton. So I think we're gonna survive. We're not going to go down. Actually, we've got a fucking good team now.
Right. I mean, you've been uncharacteristically happy about Fulham. I'm not sure if I like that. I think I preferred it when they were losing more.
Mate, it's Fulham. It won't last. It fucking won't last. As I was saying the other day, right? So being a Fulham fan, I mean, okay, I wasn't born a Fulham fan, but I've been a Fulham fan since I was about probably 6 years old.
Yeah.
It's like being born with an incurable disease.
Yes.
You know, it's like...
Well, being a football fan of any kind is a bit like that.
Yeah, it has brought me, Fulham, I mean, you know, untold misery. Yeah. Untold misery, you know, because Fulham, you know, they struggle.
Well, I remember having this conversation with Danny Kelly, you know, the Spurs fan, Danny Kelly. Who always said, you know, it's the fucking hope that kills you. Because it is.
It's the hope.
He's like, that's the tragedy of being a football supporter. Yeah. It's the fucking hope. Because you always think it's going to be better than it is. And it never is.
Fucking A. The time you go there, you're sitting there on the terraces, you know, and you're watching it. I've been there to Craven Cottage so many times, and, you know, after 20 minutes, we're 2-0 down.
Yeah.
And you go, fuck. Fucking, what am I fucking doing here? Why am I doing
it? And then they get one back, and you think, oh, this is going to be good.
But I mean, yeah, but you know, but half the time you don't. But also, you know, you're going down Tuesday night, you know, 8 o'clock, you're marching down the towpath because we're by the river, of course, and it's pissing with rain and it's freezing cold, and you're thinking, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? But you just do it.
You just do it. Speaking of sporting events, we're off to the rugby again.
Oh, we are indeed.
And I mean, obviously, we don't want to completely rehash the first occasion we went when we got into that little conflagration with Richard Tyson's mates.
Yeah, and then you called the manager of my private members club a cunt.
No, that wasn't that night, was it? No,
yeah, I think it was.
No, I got thrown. That was after our Thought Police.
Oh, no, it's after Thought Police.
No, we went to the Ivy, I think, and actually I was all right, even though we were quite pissed by
it. That's right. Fortunately, they've forgotten.
I've been back since then.
I know. I'll take you back a couple of times.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
They've forgotten the cunt incident.
They have. Well, you know, it could happen again. There's always a chance.
I don't fucking doubt it. Let's give it a rerun on Saturday. See how we go.
Well, it's a late game. So the good news is we won't be drinking for so long because it's a 4:45 kickoff, which means we'll only be drinking for a couple of hours before and maybe an hour after. Whereas I think when we got particularly drunk, it was like we'd be drinking for maybe 2 hours before, but at least 2 hours after as well.
I'm gonna hit it though. I love watching football or rugby when you're.
Twickenham's a great place. You see, they're saying that they're thinking of demolishing it though, because they're saying it's. I read this piece of a couple of weeks ago. They're saying it's too old fashioned. It's a bit like Old Trafford. And in fact, you know, it's been there for such a long time. It doesn't matter how many things they add onto it. It's not modern enough for the modern.
Yeah.
So they're talking about playing at fucking Wembley, which I hope they don't do, because I fucking hate Wembley.
And I like Twickenham. Twickenham's great.
It's a proper, you know.
I remember it when it was a few fucking corrugated iron.
Well, do you know what used to be green? My fucking school playing fields used to be right next to it, and I think now they sold it for a car park because it's now a car park.
That's right.
But Twickenham in the old days was a bit like Craven Cottage.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't look much different. It was a small stadium, no big fucking deal. I'm talking about the way Craven Cottage looked when I used to go there. It's quite big now. Yeah, when I'm talking about like in the 70s when I used to go there.
Yeah.
But no, I always like going to Twickenham, so it should be a good day out. England-Ireland.
Yeah, England-Ireland.
England are going to get slaughtered.
As I said, a name like Kevin O'Sullivan, I can support either side.
Yes.
Will I support England or Ireland? After much consideration, I've decided to opt for the winner.
I mean, I'll probably support England even though I normally don't support Scottish, England.
Yeah, Scottish, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I would be normally supporting Scotland. But I'm not one of those Scots that anybody against England. I'm not like that. So yeah, I'll absolutely probably be supporting England. But they're going to get fucking slaughtered.
Yeah, yeah, Ireland will be. Because they're not very good. Ireland are really good. I want to go back just sort of royal.
Yeah.
Celebrity Big Brother.
Oh, yes.
Now, ITV, cunts that they are, have... by the way... Just gonna talking about ITV, you know Jeff Norcott.
Yes.
So he was on the talk with me the other day, and I was having a chat with him. I'm digressing here, folks. By the way,
it's okay. It's a podcast. You're allowed to digress.
And we were talking
about
what it's
for.
I was talking about fucking hell. You know, it must be really pretty nerve wracking to stand up there and try to get people to laugh.
Right.
So he goes, yeah, yeah. Fuck me, mate. He said it's fucking fucking shit yourself. He said, but lately, he said, for the last year or so, it's fucking been easy. I said, oh yeah. He said, well, what I do is I walk onto the stage. I look at the audience. So I go. Now, Philip Schofield. He says everybody just pisses themselves. But anyway.
Imagine our shock, by the way, yeah. when it was revealed a couple of weeks ago, was it? Or yeah. 10 days ago. That he paid a six-figure sum to his former boyfriend yeah. so he wouldn't speak.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't there some kind of fucking rule of law against that?
Well, it's an NDA, non-disclosure agreement, isn't it? You can still make them. I think they should be banned. However, to go back to six-figure fees, and the reason I brought up the spectre of ITV and Celebrity Big Brother, is they've paid a six-figure fee to this guy who's the uncle, called Gary Goldsmith, the uncle of Kate Middleton.
Dodgy Uncle Gary. Yeah.
And they paid him all this money, so he goes into the house so he can make all these royal revelations. Now, the slight problem with Gary Goldsmith is he got a 5,000 quid fine after admitting punching his wife in the face.
Yes.
So he's a
punching her to the floor,
apparently. Yeah, yeah, boom, boom, boom.
Right.
So he's a convicted...
Was he not found with drugs in
He's a tourist for staging drug parties at his Ibiza mansion.
Chateau Bang Bang.
That's right. And so he's getting like a six-figure fee, probably 300 grand. And women's groups, quite rightly, are furious with ITV. Yeah. You shouldn't be rewarding this domestic abuser, this violent abuser of women. Anyway, but ITV have obviously said, thanks very much, but we can get him in and he can talk about Kate.
What about the duty of care?
Well, he starts
beating the shit out of somebody.
Well, yeah, but they obviously he's going to be dynamite. He's going to reveal all the family secrets. Fucking guy, right? He's sitting there talking to Firm Britain and our friends Sharon Osbourne and Louis Walsh and all the other housemates, many of whom you won't have heard of. Right. I certainly haven't. And what he's revealing... It's like a conversation in a pub.
Yeah.
He's going like, well, yeah, Harry and Meghan, I mean, they've caused a lot of trouble. Right. A lot of trouble with the... Really, Gary? Yeah. That's the inside track. And what about Kate? Well, you know, the Royal Fire...
Great woman.
He said, no, he doesn't even say that. He just said, well, there's an agreement, you know, we don't really talk about. Okay, that's £300,000 for you not to talk about your fucking niece, not to talk about the royal family, and just to... It's like a pub conversation between you and I about what we think about William and Harry.
It's not the naivety of these TV people, though. The ones who think that, you know, oh, we'll book that guy because he's got all these great stories to tell. And then he hasn't got any stories to tell.
Yeah.
And they just go, oh, fucking hell, that was a bit of a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind saying, I'm a bit disappointed in our colleagues in Fleet Street, the print press.
Yeah.
Because the newspapers are falling for it and they're going, Kate's uncle, you know, Harry should be stripped of his royal title.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're all so fucking what?
Well, I mean, it is a story. I mean, you can't deny it because he is fucking her uncle. That's so it's slightly different from you and I saying
but he's not,
in that sense.
I get that. I get that the constituents make a story.
Yeah.
But if you actually analyse it, he's just Joe Soap in the pub saying what anybody else
does. Oh, yeah. No,
he's not giving us the inside track.
No, he's not speaking for the royal family, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, there's not a lot of news around these days. You've got to fucking go with what you got at the end of the day. And, I mean, the trouble is, people still watch this shit.
Well, yeah, it's getting 2.3, 2.5 million a night, which by today's low standards in terrestrial
television... It's pretty fucking high, isn't it?
It's not bad. It's not bad. No. People still want to watch Big Brother.
Yeah, they do. They still love reality shows. I was talking to some of the girls working here, and you know, they just like watching things which take their mind off whatever it is they're bothered about.
Right? We're talking of reality shows, right? So... There was a show once that I took when I was a TV critic. It was 2014, it was on ITV2.
Yeah.
But it was made in America by Fox, and it was called I Wanna Marry Harry.
Oh, yeah.
And what it was, this is before Harry had hooked up with Meghan.
Right.
When he was popular.
When he was fun.
When he was popular Prince Harry, having a laugh in Las Vegas when we liked him. You remember that?
I do remember that. Long time ago. Well, I remember the pictures of him playing pool with the strippers, and he was naked.
We loved him then.
And he was fucking... Everyone was like, yeah, that looks like a good thing to do.
And have you seen that fucking stripper now lying that she sold his underpants for $250,000? No, you fucking didn't. Anyway.
The thing that surprised me most about that story was that OnlyFans actually said, you know what, you can't fucking put those pictures on our website.
OnlyFans said that.
OnlyFans have actually banned her. They blocked her from having an account.
Right.
Which they've actually shown some fucking balls for a change.
Anyway, so I Want to Marry Harry, right, which was, it was 12 American girls, right, competing to win the heart of Prince Harry.
Yeah.
And they were really nice girls, and they were spent some time in Washington and that, and then they all got flown over to Britain where they were put in, like, one of these kind of stately homes that you can hire out. And they said, oh, you're going to meet Prince Harry soon. And anyway, Prince Harry turns out to be this fucking labourer bloke. His name was Matthew, I seem to remember. He was just like this English bloke with ginger hair.
Was he a lookalike?
Who didn't? Yeah, he was supposed to be, but he didn't really look anything like him. And I remember writing about it and saying these girls are really, really nice. Because people are watching this and go, those stupid American girls, that's not Harry. They fucking knew it wasn't Harry. They were just playing along.
Right. Yeah, and they were getting probably quite well paid for it.
Of course they were.
That's the thing. I mean, that's why people say, why the fuck would you do that? Because you get paid a lot of money. I mean, Sharon Osbourne, who we know well from working with her, £100,000 a fucking day. You'd do all right. You would do that.
Because she's doing like 5 days.
She says she's doing 5 days because Ozzy's not very well.
Apparently what it was she...
But that's just mad money. Of course she would do it.
Sharon is no fool. She always gets great fees.
Yeah.
She asked them for... an astronomical amount of money to do all 3 weeks, I think it is. And they said, well, if that's how much you want, how about we just give you 5 days and pay you £100,000 a day?
Yeah.
She goes, yeah, okay.
That's a pretty good fucking fee, isn't it?
I mean, who among us would say no to that?
I think that's right.
But you know, Sharon's great. Louis Walsh is fairly good value, but I've watched a little bit of this Celebrity Big Brother. It's just shit.
Yes. Well, as I say, I've managed to miss all of it. But before we go, I must remind you that, you know, the Earth is getting hotter because...
It's the hottest month ever, isn't it?
It's been the hottest month for, I think, the last 9 months in a row, supposedly, been the hottest ever. But it's worse than that because, according to all the fucking eco-nutters, global ocean temperatures reached their highest level in modern recorded history last month. For that, you read... Since they've been able to measure the sea, they think it's getting hotter, but they're not really sure, because before they could measure it, it could have been even fucking hotter than this fucking collection of absolute twats.
But I don't care, do you?
No.
I just don't care.
No, but I heard the news today, they're going, oh, but, you know, there could be some boiling. It was almost like they were talking about the sea fucking boiling and roasting the fucking coral reefs. Yeah. Coral reefs in Australia are actually fucking growing back.
I know they are.
So they're talking bollocks.
This fucking shit, I couldn't care less about this crap. Here's another thing I couldn't care less about. Slightly to go back.
Here we go. NASA has said the ocean has got a fever. What's it got to do with them? They're in fucking space, aren't they?
Fuck off, anyway.
They're not fucking in charge of the sea. Fucking the ocean twats.
So here's another thing. So this is modern madness. So BBC, 10 minutes a night. Oh, we're all dying because of climate change. Yeah. Oh, fuck off, you cunts. Really? And then you get this, the other thing, slave reparations.
No, do fuck off.
So the king, these Caribbean campaigners are demanding that the king apologises for slavery in the Caribbean, you know, 300 years ago. What's it got to do with him? He didn't do it.
No.
It said, oh, it's the monarchy, it's the British royal family. But, you know, don't fucking say sorry and don't give him any money. No. So somebody said to me the other day, well, don't you want the king to apologise for slavery?
No.
That is what I said. Well, if he wants to, fine.
I tell you what, I disagree with that.
I don't care.
No, I do care, because the thing is, if you say sorry, it's the same as in a legal situation. If you say sorry when somebody's threatening to sue you for libel, they still sue you for libel.
Yeah.
And they come after you and they say, look, he said he was sorry. That means he was wrong.
He's an open and shut case.
And the problem for fucking Charles in this one is that it won't be his money they're paying. Yeah. It'll be our fucking money. Yeah. Yeah. It'll be our money, taxpayers' money, and I don't want to fucking give
it away.
I
totally agree with that.
So fuck off.
But within myself, you know, the idea of someone in 2024 apologising for slavery 300 years ago, I couldn't care less whether they fucking do it or not, because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous that we should be paying out money for crimes that were committed 350 years ago.
Of course it is.
In fucking California, there's a plan, and it's serious, to give every black resident of California $5 million.
What if you identify as black?
Yeah, well, I'm fucking going over there right now to do it.
Yeah, fucking, it is. It is San Francisco.
It's fucking mad.
Absolute fucking mad. Collection of cunts.
Cunts!
It can only be cunts. That must be the end of the podcast. We'll see you next week
cunts.
If the earth hasn't fucking blown up.
Fuck off.
Great.